Governor His Excellency Babajide Sanwo-Olu joins us right now. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3 and YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. So you can watch live. His Excellency Babajide Sanwo-Olu comes on air now. Mr. Governor, good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning. It's nice to have you.
It's good to have you here, sir. I understand that we're supposed to have had this conversation on Monday, but I was told that you paused your campaign following the tragic train accident involving a public bus last Thursday. I'd like to express my personal condolences and the condolence of the group to the state governor, yourself, and the entire state as well. I'm also aware that you initiated a call for blood donations to assist the injured. We, again, as a group here, would like to extend our heartfelt condolences to those affected by this incident. Moving forward now, what measures can be implemented to prevent such occurrence? Because a lot of people have said so many things concerning what happened.
Well, okay. Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, Lagosians. So Sherry, thank you very much for having me. So moving forward, first is to correct that it wasn't a public bus. It was actually a staff bus. It was a Lagos State Public Service staff bus that was moving from people from Isolo area, and they were taking them to Alausa. So largely, you know, apart from their few, two, three dependents, they are all public servants, you know, in different agencies, ministries, you know, so including the driver, right? They are public officers. And it's a route that they've been passing virtually every time. You know, as into the reasons that led to it, we could say it was purely a human error. It was a misjudgment of a driver who did not listen or err on the side of caution when the signaling, the physical signalization guys were on ground and have advised, you know, vehicles to stop. I was told that he actually swerved out of line and he felt he could beat the oncoming train. You know, so it was a completely wrong human judgment error, you know, and these kind of things that you don't even pray to happen when you're in an aircraft, you know, very unfortunate. And I dare say that the driver, he's also, I think he's in hospital now. Initially, he didn't feel anything, but he's also in hospital. But so how do we prevent and guard, you know, against such things? From the experts, what they've said is there are about three levels, you know, at ensuring grid level crossing. You know, how rail infrastructure are built in the world all over, about three levels of control. One is the physical barrier. When I mean physical barrier is maybe you have an overpass, you know, so you have an infrastructure barrier where you have a bridge and there'll be train, you know, moving under. That's the most desired. That's a physical barrier. Then you have other ones which will have like a gate, you know, a gated barrier where when a train is coming, you actually get the thing. Then the third one, you have signalization. We could be traffic lights, traffic signal, you know, which will show a stop, you know. And I think there is a hybrid, which is where you have a fiscal person, a human being who flags down with flags and all of that, right? And they will be able to control vehicular movement. I think is the last one that we'll have at that station. And NRC, you know, which is Nigerian Railway Corporation, are the owners of the rail. You know, and they are the owners so they are the ones that are running the place right now. Interestingly, that is the corridor for our own future red line as well. So we do not want to abstain ourselves from the future usage of that rail track. We're working on the red line, and the red line is from Ibute Meta all the way to Agbado. So it will fly on that rail corridor as well. And that will have a quicker headroom. So one of the lessons that we're taking away is that we will need to, you know, wrap up our infrastructure, as in the real fiscal infrastructure, to avoid any vehicular or human contact with rail. And Sheriff, that's why a lot of people don't know, we're building concurrently five overhead bridges that our rail infrastructure will pass. And I'll quickly go over them.
Yeah.
There's one we have at Ibute Meta. We're building a bridge, a full vehicular bridge at Ibute Meta. It's about 80%, 85% completed. We're building one at Yaba. Yaba is about 95% completed, you know, bridge, vehicular bridge, so that there is no contact at all. Number three, we're building one at Mushin, you know, Mushin to Unipan. We're building one. That's the third one. We're building one at Ikeja alone, which is a massive, big, you know, bridge infrastructure that you see by Ikeja local government, that's what we call Ikeja alone. And the last one we're building, Ayola Koka, which is at Iju. Federal government is meant to build one for us, you know, around there. And I think there's one that has already passed Penn Cinema, okay, which we've already built already. You know, so these infrastructure are part of the things that are meant to help the rail movement. When the rails are, when the trains are moving, you know, there is no interface at all because vehicles are overpasses and the rails are there. So right, that's a long-term solution, which will. But before that is to ensure that we could either have signalization, which will be traffic signalization, or ensure that we have gate signalizations, which will be to have physical barrier. And so we're working with the NRC, you know, to see how we wrap up that. And we're meant to also wall off that entire corridor at some point when the infrastructure and the rail movement starts, you know, because cars will have a quicker headroom. We're meant to be seeing a train every 10 or 15 minutes, you know, and that's right. That is the plan for our urban mass transportation system that we promised Lagosians.
Again, our hearts go out to all of those who lost loved ones and those that are in recovery. We wish you very, very quick recovery. And well done. Well done to the Commissioner, you know, for Health, for what he did and his team as well, and being under the leadership of the Governor himself. Great, great job, guys. Mr. Governor, let's hit the ground running now. Let's talk elections. 2 weeks ago, everybody expected your party, in fact, your principal, to win, if not anywhere in Nigeria, to win in Lagos by a wide margin, by landslide. But that didn't happen. What do you suppose happened?
Nothing happened. That's the beauty of democracy, right? That's the power the citizens have. That's the beauty of democracy. That's the beauty of what we're talking about. Right, and we need to get out of this lockdown, right? If indeed we want to have reflective of what the people, you know, at every election requires, we need to learn and understand how it works, right? It wasn't only my principal that lost his own state. Mr. President also did not win his own state. You'll have expected that there's no president that wins without winning the KKK state. Kaduna, Katsina, Kano. Guess what? He didn't win any of those three states, but he still won the election. So students of politics and history need to go back and rethink, you know, and understand that the power that we're talking about, right, is the legitimacy that a democratic process will give you. And this is a clear current call that for all of us to see, right? We can begin to talk about the other softer issues, you know, around, you know, religion, ethnicity. I don't go from that school of thought. I just want to believe, you know, that people indeed have their choices, you know. I mean, because if you say Katsina, for example, right, if it's a Muslim, you know, he was meant to be, you know, but it didn't happen. So that's what the people want. And that's why we need to very quickly be able to put the previous election behind us and learn. And let's talk about individuals. What are the things they want to bring to the table? What are the issues? What are the competence, the capacity that they have, you know, and learn from it. So, you know, so gone are those days when we can sit back and expect that, because this is how we've been doing it. So that's a lesson and the learning, Sheriff. And you can see there's been a lot of disruptions, you know, from people that believe they have stronghold. A governor have lost, you know, a senatorial election. A sitting governor has lost, you know, even his ward and local government, a sitting governor, right? So it's a beauty of what democracy can throw up. Right, it's the beauty of what we need to ensure that we begin to ensure people participate and they participate without emotion. Talking about real issues, you know, talking about what are the things people want to hear, see, and feel. Right, and that for me is what's on the table, and that for me is what we're dealing with.
No, talking about what we're dealing with, and this Saturday's election, what would you then, how would you see your chances looking at the people that are running alongside you, the PDP, the LP, the ADC. And I understand that some of the party members, big party members, have moved to the APC, you know, placed their allegiance to your campaign. But then your chances Saturday, going back, what happened to, I mean, we can't divorce what happened 2 weeks ago from what would possibly happen. What probably happened the Saturday? How would you fancy your chances?
Thank you very much, Sharif, again. So first is to thank all the candidates that on their own free will, I hear about 9 or 10 of them, decided to step down for my candidacy and have indicated their willingness to support our campaign. I think about 10 different political parties, 10 different governorship candidates, you know, were indeed very humbled with that. I guess it's driven by them also having reviewed who has the capacity, who has the competence, who has a competitive edge, you know, who has the character, you know, to be able to continue to lead Lagos at this important time. And in short, people can also ask them, you know, what led to those conclusions for them. But for me, you know, like also I've analyzed what on the table, it's about, you know, capacity, competence, you know, and character. You know, what are those things? What have you done in your own life? What are the pedigree? What are the experience you're bringing to the table? You know, what level of knowledge do you have that this job entails? You know, what are your previous roles? You know, what is your educational background, your experience, you know, on the job? A governor of the sixth largest economy in Africa can certainly not be a test run, you know, activity. You know, we are driving the largest black city in the world. It cannot be a test run. It's not driven by emotion. It certainly cannot. It's going to be driven by people who people can't see, have the track record and the capacity to do it. And I did mention something yesterday, right? So that we're comparing Apple with Apple. The youngest candidate, you know, that's also competing, you know, in this race is a 40-year-old Lagosian Nigerian. And I said, let's discount our age to age 40. Okay. And let's ask, what have everybody done at age 40? I'm 57, so I'm going to tell you what I've done at age 40. At age 40, right, I had left, you know, the banking industry as a general manager heading investment banking. I've been in that sector 15 years prior to then, and I've had to develop competence and experience in very strong, structured, you know, investment banking. I've been treasurers in 3 banks before then, you know, in foreign currency market and local currency market. We developed, you know, the very competent, you know, money market instrument that are being used today in derivatives, in futures, you know, and every of the markets that are being driven in the financial industry today. I was one of the people that developed it. Very quickly, I moved into public sector. And by 40, I had done about 3, 4 years or thereabout in the public sector. I had become a commissioner, you know, of economic plan. I've been advisor to a sitting governor at that time, right? I have had the opportunity to present a budget, a full year budget with the House of Assembly. I've defended, you know, budgetary provision. You know, I've had to oversee and manage, you know, a lot of government agencies and government parastatals at that time. Board of Internal Revenue at some point reported to me. LOMA at some point reported to me. Transportation agencies reported to me at some point, you know, at age 40. At age 40, you know, I've had the opportunity to also sit at the Lagos State Consultancy Board, Lagos State, you know, Tenders Board. And so these are experiences that you cannot take away, both in the public and the private sector, right? And that for me is what is on the table. By the time you add my additional 17 years, you know, to what I was when I was 40, which are taking me both to the private sector and back to the public sector, right? Then you can see that we're not here to give promises that we don't know how to deliver on those promises, or to give political talk without having the right experience to be able to lean on those experiences. And my 4-year track record here as governor, almost 4 years, have indeed shown that even with very difficult, you know, pandemic that the entire world, you know, needed to grapple with, you know, we came out of it stronger, better. We were able to rescue this country because half of all of the incidents happened in Lagos. But we rescued this country. We had frontline experiences that we're able to do to rescue this country, right? And in terms of performance, right, on the budgetary scale, I was telling some people yesterday, in 4 years, we have doubled the budgetary, you know, provision of Lagos State from about 800 billion in 2019 to 1.7 trillion, right? You can't achieve those feats by just mere sentiments of talk. These are real infrastructural development that has happened in the state within a space of under 4 years. When you double your budget, and you are doing 80-85% budgetary performance, and you're doing a 60-40 capital expenditure to recurrent, you know, no state, not even at the federal level, has achieved those feats. And with all sense of humility, you know, I want to thank Lagosians, you know, for supporting us to be able to have these audacious, you know, numbers to present to them. You know, and we can begin to see it and feel it in all of the pillars of engagement that we've had.
Mr. Governor, let's talk about a few other things. I'm glad you mentioned COVID. One of the things that also some people would say affected your administration in the last 4 years or so was the issue of NSAS and what happened at the toll gate and all of that. A lot of the young people listening to this program right now and a lot of the new voters in Lagos will still agree that they bear that grudge against your administration. If you have to convince them, if you have to say anything to them, what would that be in order to get their vote on Saturday?
Well, thank you, Sheriff. So this was an incident that's almost 3 years old now. This was an incident that was very unfortunate in the history of our country. This was an incident that happened, did not start in Lagos. This was an incident that Lagos became a collateral damage because it was not an incident that was meant for Lagos. This was an incident that I led from the front. You know, in all of the 3 weeks while that incident was going on, I led everything from the front. I did the very first in terms of leadership and administration to bring about a peaceful, you know, end of that unfortunate incident. I identify with all of them. I led to understand and to appreciate what their yearnings, what their requests were. At the end of the day, what happened in October 28th happened, right? I did not create, you know, the events or, you know, or the military engagement there. For people that understand and know what the constitutional rules are, it was not in the remit in any form of a sitting. There have been several, you know, speeches, there have been several events that have pointed to the fact that a governor do not even have such powers or such remit at all. Sheriff, you can remember that even, you know, a chief superintendent of police did not even listen to my own little instruction when I went to Magodo, you know, the other day, not to now talk of, you know, a full military detachment, you know, on this. And so the question around, you know, which I find it very strange when people that are meant to be coming to, become governor of Lagos State are using words that are dividing us against, you know, things that should be, you know, uniting us, you know, and when you say who gave the shooting and all of that, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I mean, we need to do a role play. You know, a lot of my youth, you know, kids, children, my brothers and sisters of that age, we need to be able to snap out of it and let's, you know, build back better and understand that the lessons and the learning of that incident has made us a better, more resilient citizens, right? And I mentioned too that everybody that has come out, you know, in any form to say that, you know, there has been injured or injury, right? I have paid them, you know, there've been compensation that have been given to all of the injured people that have come out. Not one person, Sheriff, have you seen on the street carrying a placard to say that they have not been compensated, they have not been paid. And we've done all of that, right? And the lessons and the learning is not lost on us. But to begin to use things that divide us as a political, you know, agenda means that we want to be retrogressive. We want to be progressive and move on and understand and appreciate that we should not let events like that determine who we are and what we stand for. We're building the city back, you know. We're learning and we're responding, you know, to a lot of the yearnings and the agitations, you know, that might, you know, come from our young people. So I want to, you know, reassure them that I'm a governor for them. I'm being their friend and their brother. You know, I've been the one that has listened to them the most. I've been the one that has carried them along the most. I've been the one that has given them an opportunity in tech business, giving them opportunity in the creative industry, in the music industry, in the sports industry. And that is what we're talking about. That is the competitiveness, you know, the comparative edge, you know, that we're talking about, that one has been able to create. All of the jobs were created on infrastructure, right? It's all about that. It's all about the youth. It's all about giving them the opportunity. There are several of my young people that are working, living in Lagos, But their principal, their offices are in Canada and the US, and it's based on the level of infrastructure, technological infrastructure that will be developed in Lagos. We've given the backbone for tech startups to come to Lagos, for hyperscale, you know, data center to be set up in Lagos. It's all because of the environment which they found themselves. That's why you and I can sit in our various offices and have this conversation now, sharing. And that's the kind of power that we've developed in this system. You know, so it's not about what have divided us. It's not about what has happened 3 years ago. It's about what are the opportunities that we've created for ourselves going forward. It's about showing empathy, showing compassion, giving opportunity to the citizen, ensuring that we can build this economy bigger, better, and quicker. And that's what, you know, I believe that we should be, you know, advancing, you know, going forward. You know, as in, you know, that incident, you know, the jury is out. I don't want to begin to, you know, dwell, you know, too much as into those incidents, you know, but around understanding what has happened, we've taken it up and been doing everything that the government can do, everything within my powers, you know, we're done, rightfully so. And I'm happy. I'm happy because, you know, we do not have what they wanted. What people want is that they want somebody that will show, come and show, you know, a broken leg or a broken, there's none, right? And we're indeed grateful to understand that we'll continue to do our very best, you know, at ensuring that even incidents like this do not even happen around our system again.
What we're going to do, Mr. Governor, is we're going to take just a call because we understand that we have a very limited time with you this morning. So we'll take just one call to get one question in, and then we'll call it a morning. Let's see who we've got here. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please turn off your radio quickly.
Yeah, my name is Peter.
Welcome, Peter. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to commend the state governor that is talking right now, but there are certain things I notice in Lagos State that are to be put in proper order. See, when you talk about things that are happening in Lagos and it's like there is no government in the land, then it makes a lot of people to feel disturbed, you understand? Now we're talking about lives that were lost and we're talking about compensation. Before that compensation, couldn't we have done something to prevent the loss of those lives? Now, something else happened in Lagos State. A lot of people have been complaining. I personally have been victim of house demolition. You build your house, a day a bulldozer will just come, pull down your house without information. Now you go to court. People will be telling you, you can't win government, you can't win government. By the grace of God, the one that affected us in Mowo Phase 2 at Ikorome, we won that case since 2019. The court ordered Lagos State Government and Nigerian Police to compensate all of us. See, tomorrow, we've not seen 10 Naira. They said they want to appeal the case. Okay, go to appeal court. We are waiting for you. Up to tomorrow, we didn't hear anything about that.
All right.
So, how do you treat the people that you are governing in that way?
All right.
And you still expect them to put you back to power.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the question. Mr. Governor, did you get that?
Well, thank you, Patrick. You know, you can, I mean, thank you for the commendation first. You know, so this is what has happened to you. 2019, I probably was not even in government then. So I might not be able to speak specifically to what issues he is addressing at Mowo. I think it's not Mowo, because Mowo is in Ogun State.
That's right. That's right.
Right. But there'll probably be a Mowo towards Badagry. What typically, you know, has happened is that people also do not do what I call due diligence when they're getting into land transaction.
Okay.
You need to be able to do your independent due diligence and ascertain who exactly owns the land that you want to get, you know, into the transaction. You know, one of the smallest things, one of the major problems that we have in Lagos is also because of the size of the land. Lagos, in terms of space of Lagos, you know, to put it in context, we're less than 0.23% of the size of this country. Sheriff, we're less than 0.4. That's how tiny Lagos is compared to the size of the country. So you're not talking to a state that is even 1% or 2% or 3% of the size of the country. So it's in a tiny dot that all of us have over 10% almost 13% of the population squeezing in. So it's really so tight up for all of us to stay within this small space. And because of that demography and that, you know, congestion that we have, even in land space, I expect and I want to plead again, use your, that people should do proper due diligence as into who also owns what. That's number one. Number two is also to now go ahead and find out what is the fiscal planning arrangement in that neighborhood. Is there a plan for an industrial estate? Is there a plan for a school? Is there a plan for a residential estate? You see, if we say that we're living in a mega city, there are rules in which we must learn to govern. You cannot just come if there are no proper plan or layout, right, in which roads and all of the things will be properly planned and just buy land from anybody, right? And anybody gives you a receipt and you just want to build the following day. Unfortunately, you know, as is done everywhere in the world, even with Abuja being a new mega city, demolition will occur. It bleeds my heart. Nobody wants to destroy or demolish anybody's, you know, property. But, you know, we cannot also sit back and turn the whole city, you know, into a jungle. So there has to be rules in which we must be able to follow, right? And the court process too, you know, it's also for everybody to be able to express fully, you know, whatever misgivings they have. The citizens have the right to court and government also right have the right to court. So that, you know, in a democracy, judiciary must also be allowed to play their role, right? You cannot say that government has gone to court, then that means government is at fault, right? And you also, as citizens, you also must be respected. As into being given and being awarded compensation,
right?
If he can reach out to my office, I can review it. But in 2019, I can assure you that maybe I was not even in then, right? But I know that we take over both assets and liabilities. So we're culpable in a way and manner to be able to assist our citizens when all of these things, you know, do occur. So, Victor, don't give up. You know, it's really, we're just building a better society for ourselves. Thank you very much.
Mr. Governor, we'll have to leave you here this morning. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for giving us your time and wish you best of luck on Saturday.